Continuing in our series of lectures on land and buildings, we are going to look at the option to tax in this final lecture. Before we get started, I just want to go over a summary of how we categorise different land and building supplies for VAT. The only things that are zero rated are some domestic buildings, basically brand new homes where a major interest is being supplied by the constructor, and also some protected buildings. The important characteristic is that zero rating covers new or newly created homes. The only thing that is standard rated is where the freehold is being supplied in a new commercial building. The definition of new is less than 3 years old. Everything else to do with land and buildings is exempt. Now, exempt supplies of land and buildings, in fact exempt supplies of anything, are a terrible thing for a trader, in that any input tax related to that exempt supply is irrecoverable. Also, making an exempt supply even as a one-off when a building is sold can make a trader partially exempt, and so can have some problems for that trader. Now, whenever an exempt supply of land or commercial buildings occurs, there is a marvellous, fantastic planning point that is open to the trader. This is called the option to tax, and effectively it allows the trader to choose to get rid of this exempt supply and instead call it a standard rated taxable supply. So the trader can choose to tax the supply at the standard rate rather than treat the supply as exempt. It is a planning point, a marvellous planning point for traders, because they can eliminate the exempt supply. Hence, they can eliminate the partial exemption problem and can recover input tax in full because this is now a taxable supply. The trader has free choice as to whether to make an option to tax over a supply of land or a commercial building. But once this option is made, it will apply to all future supplies that are then made in respect of that asset by that taxable person. The option is made on a building by building basis, or on a land-by-land basis. This means that if an owner, say, of several different buildings, wants to make an option to tax, he can choose to make the option over some buildings and not others. It is entirely at his discretion. However, if the buildings are linked internally or by a covered walkway, and complexes comprising of a number of units around a fully enclosed concourse, well, they are regarded as just a single building for this purpose. So the definition of one building could be quite broad and could actually encompass several different buildings. If the option is made over this one building, then it will affect all those buildings that fall within the definition of that single building. The option to tax is an irrevocable option. Once made, it sticks. However, there is a but. The option can be revoked in three situations. Schedule 10 of the VAT Act deals with the option to tax and gives the situations when the option can be revoked. The first situation is that the option can be revoked within the first 6 months after making it, provided that no supplies have been made which are affected by the option. One of the other conditions was that the taxpayer had not used the land since the option took effect. This has been thought to prevent some businesses from revoking their options, so this condition has been withdrawn from the 1st of April 2010. Any input tax deducted as a result of making the option in the first place still has to be repaid to customs. So basically, a business makes the option, and then it changes its mind. As long as no supplies have been made that have been affected by the option, and the other conditions are met, the revocation will be allowed by customs. The second situation when an option can be revoked is 20 years after making the option. The government introduced the option to tax supplies of commercial property with effect from the 1st of August 1989. In 1995, the law was amended to allow revocation of an option to tax after 20 years, subject to customs written consent being first obtained. The first option to tax became eligible for revocation in August 2009. The third situation allows the option to be revoked where no interest has been held for more than 6 years. Any input tax which becomes payable to customs in any of the situations where the option is revoked must be repaid as a condition of the option being revoked. Now let us have a look at an illustration of how the option to tax can work in practice. Mr. Jones owns an office block in Stockport, which is currently let out to his two tenants, an insurance company and a firm of accountants. Now Mr. Jones is leasing out a commercial property. Leases, commercial, remember? We are looking at an exempt supply. So Mr. Jones is making exempt supplies of the office block at the moment. Now, the building needs some renovation, costing in the region of £500,000 plus VAT. Renovating, those sorts of services, building services are standard rated supplies, so VAT will be charged to Mr. Jones. Because Mr. Jones leases out the building and hence makes an exempt supply, the £87,500 of input tax incurred on the renovation will relate to making an exempt supply of that office block and hence will be irrecoverable. This is an awful lot of VAT to be irrecoverable. Now this is where we have our planning opportunity to make the option to tax. If Mr. Jones opts to tax the building now, he will be making a taxable supply with that office building from this day forward. Thus, when the renovation occurs, the £87,500 of input tax that he pays will relate to making a taxable supply with the building, and hence will be recoverable in full. So the option to tax is a truly marvellous thing. It can change the status of your supply in such a way that you can prevent yourself from suffering irrecoverable input tax. Well, let us continue with this illustration, because what I want to think of is what is going to happen in the future. The option to tax means that any supply Mr. Jones now makes with the office block in the future will be a standard rated supply. Therefore, next time he sends an invoice for rent to his tenants, he will have to add 17.5% VAT on top. Let us think about those tenants. Suddenly, they are receiving an invoice for rent that has gone up by 17.5%. That is quite a hike in rent. One of those tenants is an accountant. Accountants make taxable supplies. So, when the rent goes up by 17.5%, that extra 17.5% is input tax for the accountant. And because the accountant makes taxable supplies, it is recoverable in full. So the most that the accountant tenant will suffer from the 17.5% increase is a cash flow disadvantage. The other tenant is an insurance company which, of course, makes exempt supplies. Now, when its rent goes up by 17.5%, that increases input tax that relates to making an exempt supply, and hence is irrecoverable. So the insurance company tenant has suddenly had a rent hike of 17.5%, and there is nothing he can do about it. When the landlord makes an option to tax, he does not have to seek permission of his tenants before doing so. It is always best to check the lease agreement, because some lease agreements do not allow the option to tax to be made, or do not allow the rent to be increased even by VAT. Instead, the increase has to come out of the rental profits for the landlord. If the lease agreement is silent, then the landlord can make an option to tax and hike up rents by 17.5% without any permission being given by the tenants. Now it is time for you to have a go at a question. I want you to look at each of these five supplies, and I want you to decide whether the option to tax can be made on the supply. Basically, the first thing you have to decide is whether the supply is exempt, and then, if it is exempt, if it is the sort of supply that you can opt to tax. Click on the button if you think you can opt to tax the supply. Good luck. The sale of land is an exempt supply, and the option to tax can be made on this supply. The sale of a 50-year-old terrace house is an exempt supply, but it is a building which is domestic rather than commercial, and so the option to tax cannot be made. The lease of a 5-year-old factory. Well, it is a commercial property, and it's a lease, so it is an exempt supply. And because it is commercial, we can make the option to tax. The freehold sale of a 1-year-old office block. It is freehold, it is commercial, and it is new, so it is a standard rated supply to start off with. It is not exempt, so the option to tax does not apply here. A 99-year lease on a 1-year-old shop. Again, it is commercial. Again, it is a lease. so it is an exempt supply. The option to tax can be made over such a supply. Now, unfortunately, there are many complicated rules that have to be devised to deal with avoidance schemes that have been thought of in the past by various tax accountants. To counter such schemes, customs have the power to disapply the option to tax in certain cases. If the option to tax is disapplied, then the landlord is not allowed to charge output tax, and hence cannot recover input tax, because basically the standard rated supply has been taken away and converted back to an exempt supply. Now, the rule is rather complicated, but the general idea of the rule is that where the grant of an interest in land is made by a developer, and the land is subject to the capital goods scheme for the grantor of the interests, which basically means that it was purchased for at least £250,000, then the option to tax has no effect if there is reason to believe that the land will be used for a non-qualifying purpose in the remainder of the capital goods scheme period by a person who made the grant or by a person who financed the grantor's development of the land or by any person connected with them. Now, qualifying use is basically making taxable supplies. A small amount, up to 20% of exempt supplies, are allowed. So it is 80% or more taxable supplies being made. So for this anti-avoidance rule to apply,
you basically need to be looking at a developer. The grant of an interest has been made by this developer.
Now, the definition of developer is very, very wide and can basically include almost anybody. The land that we are looking at is subject to the capital goods scheme, so that means the purchaser paid at least £250,000. And this land is going to be used for a non-qualifying purpose. Now, for qualifying purposes, 80% or more taxable supplies are required. So it follows that non-qualifying purposes are more than 20% exempt supplies. This use is going to be by the person making the grant, or a person who financed the grant for development of the land, or by any person who is connected with either of them. I just want to mention briefly subleases.
Customs have also tried to simplify this test from the 1st of April 2010, so as not to catch some transactions that are caught completely accidentally by the rule. What the new legislation allows is for an option not to be disapplied as long as the part of the building occupied by the financier is minor, i.e., it is occupying less than 10% of the building concerned. Customs believe it will be obvious whether the tenant is occupying more than 10% of a building. They require the RICS Code of Measuring Practice to be used to calculate the percentage occupied. Of course, there are some other conditions to meet too, but this is the main one.
If a landlord makes the option to tax, then this would affect all supplies relating to that building. So rent charged to existing tenants, any premium, or rent charged on a subsequent lease, any process of sale for the freehold to another owner, etc. However, the landlord's option does not bind someone with a different interest in the land. A landlord may opt to tax the lease, which means that the tenants pay VAT on the rent to the landlord. But if the tenants sublet, then the tenant will have a separate option to tax the sublease. If a tenant does not, then VAT paid to the head landlord will then become irrecoverable, because it relates to the making of exempt subletting. If, however, the tenant does opt to tax, then you are back to a taxable supply situation and fully recoverable input tax. Customs have recently changed their policy on evidence of an intention to make taxable supplies of property. Customs have also recently clarified policy on attributing input tax to intended supplies of property, and when subsequent adjustments need to be made. This takes account of the decision of the VAT and Duties Tribunal in the case of Beaverbank Properties and of the House of Lords in Royal and Sun Alliance. A taxpayer may deduct VAT on costs attributed to taxable supplies that it intends to make in the future. If the intention is to make exempt supplies, then the attributed VAT cannot normally be deducted. Where an intention changes before costs are used, the original VAT attribution may need to be adjusted. If the intention changes from exempt to taxable, then a taxpayer may be entitled to claim VAT previously attributed to the exempt supply. This is known as a payback claim. On the other hand,
if the intention changes from taxable to exempt, then VAT previously deducted may need to be repaid. This is known as a clawback adjustment. Prior to the Beaver Bank case, Customs maintained that where an option to tax was needed to make supplies taxable, a taxpayer could have an intention to make taxable supplies only once an option to tax was in place. Following the case, Customs now accept that a taxpayer can have an intention to make taxable supplies before an option to tax is in place, even though the taxable supplies cannot occur until after the option is made. In such a case, clear documentary evidence of the taxable intention will be vital. Following the comments of Lord Hoffman in the Royal and Sun Alliance case, there has been some speculation that the lack of clear intention of what suppliers would eventually be made in speculative property projects prevents the later application of payback or clawback. Customs have outlined that they view the apportionment of residual input tax incurred on speculative projects under partial exemption methods as attribution to taxable and exempt intentions, and thus view the input tax as eligible for later adjustment if all other conditions are met.
Right, now it is time for you to have a go at a question. There are 5 supplies here, and what I want you to do is decide whether they are standard rated, zero rated, or exempt. And then, if it is an exempt supply, I want you to decide whether the option to tax can be made in respect of that supply. Good luck. The freehold sale of a 2-year-old factory is freehold, new and commercial, and hence a standard rated supply. The grant of a 21-year lease in a brand new office block is commercial, and it is a lease, so it is an exempt supply. And it is an exempt supply of a commercial building, so the option to tax could be made.
A farmer rents out a plot of land to another farmer. Renting out land is an exempt supply. Therefore, an option to tax can be made.
A landlord leases out 2 floors of a building to an insurance company. Well, it is a lease. It is a commercial building, so it is an exempt supply. And the exempt supply of a commercial building means the option to tax can be made. A landlord leases out a flat in a brand new luxury development for 5 years to Mr. Smith. It is a lease, but it is a domestic property. So it is an exempt supply, but an exempt supply over domestic property means that the option to tax cannot be made. Now, if the landlord had constructed the flat, we might have been thinking of zero-rated supply here, except for the fact that a major interest has not been granted. Only a 5-year lease was granted, and hence, that is why we concluded it would be an exempt supply in this example. And that's the end of the lecture on land and buildings, elections to waive exemption.